sessions. Good morning, everyone, to our Friday, May 21st session on developing add-ons for Blender and Neuropil tools. And I think I'm up to date in posting previous all the previous sessions on the on the website, so you should be able to get all the previous sessions. And I'll just do a quick recap of what we did, and then the goal for today is to I'm going to show you how to make a custom filter on a list displayed in the Blender interface so that you can customize what items are displayed in the list. Okay. And just hold on 1 second. I've got an emergency email from a colleague. Let me answer. One of our grants got funded. And so there's an emergency to answer a question. Give me 1 second. This is the grant with Mary Kennedy and Eric Hosey. He somehow found out before I found out, or maybe Terry heard, but he hasn't emailed us all yet. But Eric found out. Yeah, thanks. I'm gonna see. I think that should handle it. Okay. Okay, so I'll start sharing my screen. And let's see, I will. Oh, okay. I think this will probably work. Always switching back and forth between different versions of Blender and Cell Blender for different projects because kind of have we're working toward a major release of the latest version of MCell and Cell Blender, but we're not quite there yet, so I switch back and forth a little bit. So let me see. Okay, so I don't have the Icosphere add-on included there. So I think I have to do a make install. Okay. Then I have to activate it. see. Oh, user preferences, add-ons, scene, activate it, save the settings. Okay, there's our add-on in here. And you can see where we left it last time was we have a list that includes the names of all the objects in the scene and an assigned value associated with it. And our add random icospheres operator generates icospheres in random locations, 10 of them that we can control, and then assigns random values to them. But the camera, cube, and lamp are not, were not generated by our operator, so they have default values set to zero for that metadata. And we made a list, and the list includes all the objects in the scene and the values associated with them included in the list. So that's pretty nice. Also up here, we show the currently selected object here. And as we click and select on those, you can see its value appear here, but that selection does not change which object is selected in the list. Okay, and this is by design, how Blender designed things, that the items in the list are independent of the user interface that is selecting it. And I think there is no, as far as I know, there is no way, but I could be wrong, but there is no way to have the user interface update the active object here automatically depending on which object is selected when I click around. I think there's no coupling between selecting here and no event that happens that I can pick up on and force this to change what's selected here, which is, however, there is a way for me to click on things here and have that event change which one is selected in the scene if I want to. So there's kind of a one way set of events between this list and the scene, but not a coupling between the scene, the scene and this list. So for whatever reason in Blender. So let's keep that in mind. Okay. So what we're going to do now is we're going to customize a filter. These are called filters. And when I hover over, and this little plus minus control here lets me show or hide the filter. And every list like this, if you don't make a custom filter, has a default filter. And the default filter is this one that displays, when I hover over it here, it says only show items matching this name, use star as wildcard as the help for it. And the Python is, you know, myulobjdrawItem.filterName. That's the name of this filter. It's just called .filterName. And the filter lets me, you know, find things that begin with the letter C, find things that have the letter C in it. And you can see that the letter C doesn't matter if it's all caps or not. And this lets me sort, I think these are sorted in order of by which they were created and put into the scene. And then this lets me sort alphabetically or not. So these are the functions of this filter. These buttons are associated with the filter. And I guess this lets me invert the filter. So if I type C here, I can say invert the filter, and it shows me everything not selected, or, you know, not matching, which is useful. That can be useful. Okay, so these are all features that are part of a filter. So a filter has some way of filtering and some buttons associated with it. Like clear that out. That's the same as the X key, I guess, to get rid of it. Okay, so these are all different characteristics of the filter. So, and there's documentation on the Blender Python API about these filters, but I think I said last time that it's kind of obscure and kind of hard to understand. And the examples they give are kind of weird examples even. And so it took me and Bob a while to figure out how those work, but we finally did. And we have some of those capabilities in the NeuroPill tools tool. Let's see. And so this one behaves in the normal way, but I have a different way of making the filter. Use base filter name. Can't really quite remember how all those work. And we're not really using NeuroPill tools here with a real project here. So So we can't really take advantage of those, but we can find the source code for some of the filtering code on here. Use base filtering. Try to remember what we did with some of these filters. I know this one's custom. It doesn't say custom, and I think I didn't change the help that displays for those. But I'm pretty sure these filters are a little bit fancier than the standard one.
Yeah, for that example that you're pointing at, Tom, you can tell the difference between that filter and if you go over to the right side, the scene objects list has its own kind of search function that you can use wildcards with, but they are different. So you did something custom with processor tool.
Yeah. Might even be here. I might even be able to show it here. So let's see. Custom use base filter.
Well, the base name filter should be with the contact object pattern. You know, whenever you create a new pattern, you can tell it to only filter by your newly created pattern.
Right. Yeah. Turn that off. And it doesn't do it that way, I guess. But you can see this is completely different. It doesn't have any of that stuff in it. Anyway, I think what I did for these filters here instead of just using the standard where the first, you know, where I type in a letter and that letter can appear anywhere in the name, I think what I implemented here was a more standard kind of item filter that you might be used to on a command line, like when I type ls and I type c, right? It doesn't find add icospheres, even though there's a letter c in it, right? This means find exactly the file name c, right? And if I say ls, c star, finds anything that begins with the letter C and anything after it. I don't have one like that, right? If I say LSA, it doesn't find that, but if I say LSA star, it finds that, right? And so these are what are called regular expressions, except these aren't pure regular expressions. These are kind of a limited implementation of a regular expression. So there's this concept in filtering names and patterns of things called a regular expression, and you can probably find a Wikipedia page about what are called Unix regular expressions. And what I implemented in the filter here was real Unix regular expressions that let you put together patterns with some syntax that's not too hard to remember, that let you make really powerful ways to filter the names of things. Very, very flexible things that are really useful. And so we'll eventually get to that point where I show you how I did that, but let's start with, I guess I'm kind of rambling around a little bit here. Let's start with, in our add icosphere, maybe a filter that filters maybe by value or something. We can discuss how to do that, but let's first start by, by showing you how to put in a custom filter and what the different moving parts are to make a custom filter. Okay, so in our code, it's in panel.py, we have a draw item list. So just to quick recap, so we have a we have the Hello World panel, which is a BPY types panel, and panels have a function called draw, and the draw function lays out the different rows and columns and buttons and labels and things that we see. And the way we lay out the list, there's a thing called a template list. And the template list refers to a class that you make that's called a UL list. That's a type UL list. And ours is called my UL OBJ draw item. So if I look for that class, my UL OBJ draw item, it's a BPY types UI list. And it has a function called, a member function called draw item. That's required by the Blender API that you create that. Okay, but you can also have another item or another part of your ULS draw item. Well, okay, so before we get into that, so the draw item draws into the layout that's passed in by the panel. The panel passes in its own layout so that this draw item can draw into the layout of the panel, in this case, the Hello World panel, so that our draw item knows that when it is drawing things, it's drawing inside of this panel. And in fact, it knows that the list itself has a layout, and the layout of the list is one row for each item, and draw item just draws one item. So the layout that's passed in here is probably the row that the item is going to draw itself into. So in that row, I've made two columns. One column is going to have item.name in it, and the other column is going to have item.obj props value 1. So that's how we get that property for value 1 to be displayed in there. And when you lay out a property that's an That's a float property. Value one is a float property. You get a little float widget, which has text in it that you can set. So I say text equal value one. So that's how the little value one gets laid out in there. Okay, and then that's it for what we draw in there. And the rest of this is commented out. And this was a comment left over from where we copied in from, I think we copied in from Neuropil tools, a draw item that had a filter in it. So this, so don't read too much into what's in here, because this was written to be compatible with Neuropil tools and not compatible with our Add ICOS add-on, but we're gonna morph this into what we want. So what you're allowed to do is you're allowed to make a filter, and then you can say set the filter name of the filter. And then lay out some other items in here. And I'm gonna get rid of this bit, because these are just more laying out more labels that were needed for Neuropil tools for whatever this was trying to do. So I'm gonna get rid of these things. Yeah, we don't want that filter. So we're gonna go back into Neuropil tools and we're gonna look up one of the fancier filters and replace all this with fancier stuff. But you can make a filter and assign that filter to the thing called filter name, which when we hover over here, we see there's something called draw item dot filter name. And then there's another parameter that we can set called use filter sort alpha true. That sets the state of this thing. You can see where that's, when I hover over this, it says, you know, my UL OBJ draw item dot use filter sort alpha. This can either be true or false. That's set to true and that's set to false. So here, when I set it to true, that's forcing it to be true. So this keeps the user, it sets it to true and also forces it to always be true so that the user can't even really tweak it and set it anymore. Because every time through this loop, when it draws an item, it's going to reset this to true every time. Okay, but let's look in Neuropil tools over here. And figure out how to make a custom filter that's going to filter by the value and display only things that meet, you know, that are equal to a certain value. So somewhere over here. I'm going to have to remind myself of how I did this. Search for the word filter name. Okay, so here. Truth filter name. How I set these filters up. select your name. Property. I'm just trying to find an example where we're really doing this. Seeing it. Oh, it's not matching. It's because this is on master. Git. That's why it's not working. Git checkout. In the development version of Miracle Tools that I want to find things. Okay, here we go. So in a draw item, I mean, in a UI list, you have a function called draw item, which is just the usual one. And this is the one for drawing the names of the trace objects that we were looking at here a moment ago. This list over here called the trace list. That might be what this one is. It sorts them in alphabetical order, but it also lays out the item name. So what would be included here is included in this list are just the names of the items, which are going to be the traces. I think you can look. But if you have a function called filter items, then the filter items filter will be the filter that appears here. So this is going to be this thing called filter items overrides the built-in one that's built into Blender for a UI list. And you don't even have to give it a particular you don't have to refer to it in the draw items. Just by having this thing called filter items, it overrides the thing. The UI list knows that when it draws itself to always draw the filter. In this case, it's going to be this filter. Okay. So a filter, let's copy this filter here. I'm going to copy that filter over. Let's see. You can see I got some text on the screen here that wasn't supposed to be there. So I'm just going to quickly start that. And I'm going to look for draw item. So here's our draw item. I'm going to paste in. Just copy from over there. So I'm going to paste in this thing called filter items. And I don't even have to. I'll comment that now because maybe we'll need that, maybe we won't. So a filter items function has a self, a context, a data, and a prop name as the arguments, but those get passed in automatically. And you don't have to worry about those. They're going to get passed in. And here I'm referring to a global variable called contour filter pattern. And I think contour filter pattern might be not sure what that is. Okay. Ah, I think contour filter pattern must be like a string or something. Okay. I think I know how this works now. Okay, so when I hover over this right here, this field, or you know, I can go back over to our head icons. When I hover over this field, this is telling me the name of that field. The name of that field is myul draw obj draw item dot filter underscore name. That's the name of this field, of this widget. So I had thought that that was the name of the filter function to call, but it's actually not. This is actually the field called let's see, how about that? That's actually the name of the variable, the field variable where the value that I type in here is stored, right? So when I type that in there, somewhere in Blender, there's a field, a data item called blah, blah, blah dot filter name that now has the value of ADFAF, because that's what I typed in. That's the string that's in there. Okay, so over here, somehow maybe this is maybe not the cleanest way to do it, but I've made a global variable. I'm referring to a global variable called contour filter pattern. And when I look for contour filter pattern, you can see at the top level, this is right after my register and unregister. I've declared this variable called contour filter pattern and set it equal to the empty string. And this variable is kind of at the top level of the whole, of this whole file. And that makes it a global variable, and I can refer to that global variable inside, deep inside a class. I can refer to it by just saying global contour filter pattern. Maybe this isn't the cleanest Pythonic way to program this, but let's just stick with this. The way it is now. And so that just pulls that the name of this variable into the namespace of this function so that now I can refer to it and then set it. So here let's not worry about this first line for a moment. Here I'm setting the value of contour filter pattern to be the contents of that filter name field of the widget. So when I say self.filter name, that self is really the self is the whole UI list. And so self.filter name is this field of the UI list. Okay. And self knows which one it is because this is the self is inside this class and the class is this thing, right? In this case, it's trace ul draw item dot filter name. So if I go back over here to the NeuroPill tools widget and click and point here, you see it says trace ul draw item dot filter name, right? So there's no mystery there. Just want to make sure you're following that. Okay, so now back over here in our add icos, This is just setting this contour filter pattern to have this filter name, have this string as its value. Okay. And then, okay, so what are these two things? Float flags and float new order. this is the kind of this is the funny thing that I need to explain that Bob and I figured out about how filters work. Okay. So here I'm calling a function called filter items by pattern. And and with the arguments self, context, data, and prop name, those are the same as this self, context, data, and prop name. So I'm calling a function called filter items by pattern, passing it these four arguments, which came in from the call to filter items in the first place. And what this function is going to do is it's going to return two things. It's going to return a list that contains two things. One is this thing called float flags, and this other thing called filt. I think this is filt flags, and another thing called filt new order. Of course, these could be named anything you want, but these are named this way to be consistent with how Blender would like you to name it, so that you can look at other examples and understand this in the context of other examples that you've seen, because that's in the other examples, that's what they called them. And then our filter items function will return filt flags and filt new order. Okay. And as a side effect, it will also set the contour filter pattern to be equal to whatever this filter name was. Okay. I mean, whatever the string was in that field. Okay, so what does filter items by pattern do? And what is that? So I'm gonna look for filter items by pattern. And let's see if I can find it. Here it is. Filter, it was right up here underneath where I set contour filter patterns equal to empty string. Okay, it's a function that I defined. And it takes, you know, that takes those four arguments that we talked about. It defines this thing called helper funcs, which is a type UI list. And then we call this function called getAdder, which I think is a Python, I think it's a Python function that I think takes a class and a name inside that class, I think, and looks up, what getAdder does is it looks up inside a class the name of an item inside the class and returns a handle to that item. Let's see. There's some deep stuff. Yeah. It's a built-in function in Python that you don't normally see or hear about. It stands for get attribute. And it's a, if I do a help on get attribute, it says get a named attribute from an object. So this is an important part of the object-oriented framework in Python. So object, what's an object? An object is a class that you have instantiated, meaning you've taken a class and you've made an instantiation of it, meaning you have something that is a member of that class. Okay. So if I say a equals one, I can do a type on a. It says it's a type int. Okay. And if I see, what else can I find out about int? Let's see. this. It says it's a dict. Okay. But I think int is a class. Say help int. Int is actually a class. Okay. So if we look at what an int has all these member functions, and there's even a get attribute member function. Some of the member functions have underscore in front of them, meaning those are things that you probably don't normally want to access directly. That's when they put underscore in the name of something, that's a kind of an indicator by the language designers that that's something that you can touch if you really know what you're doing, but generally you don't. Generally, these functions are called by the other functions that don't have underscores in the name. And you know, these functions here probably make calls to these other internal functions that are part of it for you on your behalf. Okay, so there's something called bit length and something called conjugate for an int. So I should be able to say get adder of A and conjugate is an attribute. And it says built-in method conjugate of an int object. So if I know that these things exist, I can find out, but I might be able to say a dot, no, because there's no keys function, but there is a way to get inside of the a, and I don't know, I'm getting a little bit off track here. So what this is doing is it's taking the data, which is really the items in the list, I think, and getting a particular property for that, which is something that that filter wants to do for us. I guess I'm not giving a very good explanation of this. I'm kind of reconstructing my understanding of this on the fly as we talk about it. So that's why I'm kind of stumbling around a little bit. So let me just step back for a moment and say that what a filter is supposed to do is return two arrays, one called filt flags and another one called filt new order. And what filt flags is an array with zeros and ones in it. Zeros mean don't include that item in the filter, or that zero means the item didn't match the filter, and one means an item did match the filter, okay? And then new order is a mapping between, so a filter can do two things. One is it can fill in these zeros and ones to say what is matched and not matched by the filter. And a filter can also reorder the items in the list. But the ordering is done by mapping its old index to a new index, okay? And the new index is the index that will appear, you know, the order that will appear in the filtered list afterward. But its original index is unchanged. So you're not actually really changing the order of the items in the actual list. You're making kind of you're telling Blender, you know, here's my list. This is the true order of the items in the list. But when you display it, don't use the true order. Use this new ordering. And Blender does this for you and displays the list, but it doesn't change your original list. Your original list doesn't have items that have been dropped out of it. And isn't in a different order. Okay, your original list is unchanged. It's only changing the way it appears on the screen. Okay. So that's the purpose of these two fields. And then, so what your function that you write needs to do is to create those lists. And so what I do here is first we get, I guess this is getting the items in the list. And this is initializing the filt flags and filt new order to be empty arrays. And then I'm getting the filter pattern, which is a string. I'm getting it from the filter name, which is the string that the user typed into that little field, right? And then this says if filt pat, that means if the string is not empty, then we're going to filter, right? But if the string, but if it's empty, we skip all this. And then we go right down here and the new order is sort items by name. So what I'm saying is I'm not going to change the order of the list in my filter. My filter is going to use the Blender sort items by name function. So that's this helper funcs. That's what helper funcs is. Helper funcs was the thing that is actually part of Blender's user interface for a UI list. And I'm just saying use Blender's UI list function called sort items by name, items, and where it's item.name is the way you read this. This is the class, and this is the attribute of the class .name. And so that means it's going to sort it by items.name. Our items are OBJs, our objects, right? And so obj.name is the name of the object. So that's what, and so this is going to sort items by name in whatever order the user said they wanted it sorted in here. So sort items by name looks up and sees whether this flag is, whether this is set or not, and we'll give you the items in that order. And so that'll be the order. It's the original order. So my filter function is not changing that. It's returning that and filt flags. And because we skipped, if the filter pattern is the empty string, then filt flags will be the empty list, meaning we haven't filtered anything. And I think what Blender does is if that's empty, then everything, it says everything matches, I think. If that's empty, that's what that means. That must be what it means, because because that's what's going on here. Okay, but if filter pattern is not empty, then what I do is I convert the filter pattern that the user typed in over here, whatever that pattern is that they typed in here. I take that string. Looks like I do it twice. I say filter pattern equals self.filter name, and then I do it again here. I guess you probably don't need this second time I'm doing it here. I'm taking whatever the user typed in, and I'm generating what's called a formal regular expression. And I think what we did for Neuropil tools was define a special syntax that makes it easier for the user to specify a pattern for filtering the names of things. And I think what the pattern lets you do is use the number sign to mean values between digits between 0 and 9, And if you put star, what that really means is to put dot star. So dots, in square brackets, in Unix regular expressions, a list of ASCII characters in square brackets, what this means is any single character in the range, in the ASCII character range from 0 to 9. That's what this special syntax means. It means any single character whose value is that, you know, the ASCII digit 0 to 9. That's what this means. And in Unix regular expressions, any single, if I want to say any number of any single character, I have to say dot star. Dot means any single character, means any character on the keyboard, alpha, you know, letters A through Z, 0 through 9, you know, exclamation points and punctuation and all the keys on the keyboard. Dot means any one of those keys, any one, just a single one. And star means 0 or more of whatever the previous thing was. So this means, when I say dot star, that means 0 or more of any character on the keyboard. But users aren't used to typing in dot star when they mean anything. They're used to typing in just star, right? So what we did was we've defined here what we call a filter pattern, where pound sign means any number and star means, you know, 0 or more of anything. So, so we replace those characters in the user's string that they typed in. We replace it with what the real expression really should be if it's a Unix regular expression. So this converts the filter pattern, like I said up here, converts the filter pattern to a formal regular expression. And once you have a formal regular expression, then we can use this Python function called a regular expression function. There's a regular expression package in Python, and it's called RE for regular expression. And so I can take my fill regular expression string and compile it. What that does is it turns it into an internal function that Python can use to filter anything with it. And I call that filter RE comp. So filter regular expression comp means it's the compiled regular expression. And then I can say filt flags, instead of being this empty string, filt flags is now going to be this array. And the array, so don't worry about this first part yet. The array is, so what we have here is what's called a Python list comprehension. I don't know if you've ever seen this kind of Python before, but this is called a list comprehension, where I can say, okay, filt flags is going to be a list, but the list here is actually determined by some code. This code that executes in here is going to generate items one at a time, and those items are going to be appended together to make a list. So this is what's called a list comprehension. Okay, so how are we doing this? We're saying do a full match. So we're calling our regular expression function that's been compiled called filt recomp. We're saying filt recomp dot full match. Full match is the way you can tell a regular expression to be an exact match. So it has to be whatever the item name is, it has to be exactly matched by the filter. So it's only looking for things that are an exact match for the filter rather than, see over here when I just typed in the letter C here, this is finding anything that has a letter C in it in any position, right? So if I put the letter A here, A is the second letter. If I put M here, M is the third letter in those. If I type P, only the lamp has a P in it, but it's the last letter in the word lamp, right? If I type in L, only lamp has the letter L in it, right? And cube is the only one that has a U in it, so I can type U and find cube, right? But what I've done is I've made it so it, instead of being a partial match for a character in any position, it has to be an exact match. And it has exactly match the filter pattern that the user typed in. Okay, and if it is a full match, so what this is saying is do a filter comp full match item name not equal to none for item in items. So the way a list comprehension works is you kind of, to really understand what it's doing, you read from left to right. So at the very end, this says for item in items, do something. What we're doing is we're doing a filter recomp full match of item.name. So the item here is this item. For item in items, for each item in items, and items is our list of objects names, a list of object names, or no, just the list of objects, OBJs, the list of OBJs. And then each one of those has a name. So for item in items, I can do the full match item.name. So this is going to be OBJ.name here in a sense, right? And doing a full match. And if that full match is not equal to none, the value will be one. If the full match is equal to none, not equal to none, right? If it's not equal to none, right? If it's not equal to none, you'll get a one. If it is equal to none, you'll get a zero, right? So this is making zeros and ones, or actually trues and falses, right? It's really making trues and falses. And the star set self.bit flag filter name. So there's another function in a UI list called bit flag filter item. And this is a function that's built into Blender. And what it does is it turns this array. This is going to be, after we do this, this is going to be array of trues and falses. And what we need to do is set it in, turn it into something else that's what's called a bit flag array, I think. This is something that is inside, or something that's expected that the filter flags be these things called a bit flag. It's a special data type that Blender has. So this is just converting it into that type. And apparently you're allowed to multiply this times that. But the result, right? So there's some deeper stuff here that, you know, Bob and I never dug into to see, but what we were able to figure out is that if you have a list of things, you can turn it into an array of trues and falses, and then you can turn that into the right form for what Blender expects for a filter flag like this. You get the array of basically it's an array of zeros and ones, but in this special form called a bit flag. And then you can then you can pass that, right? So I guess I skipped over something earlier. I said that when filter pattern is the empty string, that it stays like this, but that's actually not true. Here's the else. I missed the else down here. So if your filter pattern is the empty string, filt flags won't be an empty array. It will actually be this bit flag filter item times the length of the items. So I think it then becomes, I think if you call bit flag filter item, you probably just get a one out of it. Its default is probably a value of one. So this is just gonna give me an array of length items of ones. And so the filter flags will be just an array of ones if we do it that way. Okay. So I think at this point, I think we should stop because we're out of time for today. Went a little bit over, and we'll pick this up next time and plug this filter into our at IcoSphere. And what we're going to do is instead of having our regular expression that we use to filter the names here, we're going to make it so that it filters by the value of the of the metadata that we've assigned. So our filter name might be something that looks like what if we typed in if I typed in greater than one or less than 0.5 or something, we might define a special filter here that filters by some logic. And then we can parse that string and turn it and figure out what logic we want it to happen. And then instead of having a regular expression here that we're filtering, we can just, instead of saying, regular expression full match item name not equal to none, what we would do here is we would say item dot dot my scene no dot my object properties dot value one less than or greater than or whatever this expression was for the value, and that would give us a true or false again that we could then use to create our filter. But we'll work on that next time. So I felt like I was kind of really thrashing around a lot today and not being really super clear. So if you have any questions about this, let me know right now and we can talk about it before we sign off.
I did have a question about the else statement. So len items, that would be the length of the item. So wouldn't that just be one value as opposed to like an array?
Well, the name is plural, but that doesn't mean anything. Items is going to be, I think, the whole list.
And then you're getting the length.
All the items in the list. Items is going to be all the items in the list. So it is the whole list. It's not just one item at a time, it's the whole list of items.
Okay.
Because here we're iterating, here we're saying for item in items. So that's a list that we're iterating over. So items is a list. So len items is going to be, you know, whatever number is in this list. Could be zero, right? But here I think it would be three in this case. This is a funny syntax. I've never seen this kind of thing before, where I can take an array and multiply it times length of items. I'm not sure what that does. I guess we can try it out. So if I say A equals 1, 2, 3, can I say A times 5? Oh, look at that. So I can do that. I've never done that before.
Yeah, I didn't know that was
the
thing.
Yeah, it's the list 5 times. I didn't know you could do that. Okay, so so what this is going to be is an array with a bit flag filter item in it, which is probably just a 1. So this is probably just going to be a 1 by default, I think.
So I guess there's no filter.
One of those, and I take one of those and I put it in an array, and I multiply by, you know, by however many items there are. And that gives me, you know, N of those things. N of these things.
Mm-hmm. It is weird.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. I mean, it's compact. So, you know, a lot of this kind of stuff is like this. When you're looking at other people's code and learning how to do things, you'll see different, you know, at first obscure ways of doing things, maybe obscure to you, but really commonly used elsewhere. And as you learn more, you realize that, you know, things that are obscure to you are actually the slick, common way to do things. And you just have to learn that new syntax, you know, because, you know, this is pretty simple. And if you weren't allowed to multiply an array times a number, then Python wouldn't allow this, and it would say that's a syntax error. But the fact that in Python they allow you to do this means the designers, you know, had that in mind when they were designing it and thought this would be useful to people. And just because we haven't learned how to do that yet doesn't mean, you know, the designers weren't trying to give us something really useful that we should, you know, that we should adopt. So, but now we know it, right? So I learned something new here too. Okay. And this is taking one of these times this thing. I'm not sure. That just gives me 1. True or false? No. This looks like it's a, I don't know what that is. That looks like a true times a true. Okay. So down here where what's weird is we're using this multiply operator in two different contexts with both have this bit flag filter item in it, but in this context this is making an array of N of these things. And in this context, I think this is a true times a true. In this case, it's a multiply. It really is a multiply. It's not a replicate. This, you know, down here, this is like a replicate in context for the star, but up here, this is a really a multiply. So we're multiplying true times true or false, right? And when you say true times true or false, you get true if the second thing is true and false if the second thing is false, right? And I'm not sure why they're doing it that way. But I think the reason is because you want this array to be an array of these kinds of things. Because it seems like you could just leave this off because we already have a true or false. It's this one, not equal to none. That's a true or false. But we want these, but I think we want these things to be these bit flags, which is like a certain special type that Blender has for it. So we want an array. We want an array of these things, I think. But anyway, so any other questions? Oh, yeah. So that was your question about what the else was and multiplying an array times a number. Okay. Any other questions?
No, none currently.
Okay, good. So I will stop. See, stop recording.